Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. I'm pleased to have Mr. Stuart Rosenthal. You've heard him every week here. Brings us the truth in getting older.
That sounds a little too scary, doesn't it?
When you're over 50 and you want to know about technology. Last week we discussed apps that can help you shop at your local store. You download an app, you can read a barcode, know whether it tastes good or know whether you're paying too much. Pretty cool. Read about it in the Beacon newspaper this month, all month long, the November issue. And this week we'll talk about what?
Some money stories.
Money stories, okay. Yeah. So now, in light of the election money stories, or this kind
no,
of predates
these predate, okay, predate, okay.
All right, all right. Yeah. Still relevant in some ways because it's volatility.
Right? I mean, no, it's, yeah, absolutely. I mean, no one, the stock market did things people were surprised to see, I think. So,
I think so.
Who knows? You can't really know the future. But right. In fact, you're right. The very issue about volatility is what this story is about, because people have, you know, thousands of mutual funds out there, and their index funds and their managed funds. And, people choose among funds generally by what? They look at the recent return, mm-hmm. right? One year, 3 year, 5 year returns. And even though they tell you past returns are no evidence, you know, evidence of future success, that's what people do. What else do they have to go on, right?
Right.
So this article is very interesting. I've never seen anything quite like this before, where they take, they give an example of two funds, real funds, where in year, 5 year period, fund A had big returns, nearly twice as big as fund B in 4 out of 5 years, but in 1 year it had a bad year.
Huh.
Fund B, as I just told you, had lower returns in 4 out of 5 years.
Right.
And the 1 year that the other one had a bad year, it also had a bad year, but not as bad.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So what would you think is the best one to go with? Everybody's going to say fund A.
Right.
It was better 4 out of 5, and it only had one bad year, and the other one also had one bad year. That bad year in fund A was nearly 4 times as bad as the bad year in fund B. Mm. It happened the second year of the 5 year period, and as a result, fund B returned more than twice as much as fund A.
Because of how early it happened.
Because of how early it happened, right. And how hard it is to dig out of that hole and how deep it was.
Yes.
So if people aren't thinking that way, if they're not looking at things that way,
right.
Volatility can make a huge difference in your overall return. So it was a very eye-opening story, and it says, you know, what you can do to reduce volatility. Now, I think this guy writing this is probably a financial planner who wants to have people come to him and use, you know, do managed funds, because index funds are much cheaper. They don't have very high fees, and that's because they don't do much in the way of buying and selling.
Right.
Whereas a managed fund, a guy can come in and out and say, well, this year isn't looking good. I'm going to pull out of these stocks or whatever. So he says that's better for you because volatility is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's an index fund, it's not going to react to volatility in the way that a managed fund will. So he's definitely pushing managed funds.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But I think it was still worth thinking about because it's not the kind of thing. We do most stories about how wonderful index funds are. And this was one that sort of said, well, there's another side of the story.
Yes, good. Okay.
Another story we have is the best times to buy a new car. Now, a lot of people know this already, but it's worth, I think, reviewing, and there's some things here that are interesting. The model changeover, the big three U.S. automakers changed their models in August and September. Not so true for the foreign manufacturers, but when they do that, they discount and have incentives to clear out the old your prior year's cars, of course. Everybody sort of knows that one. There's also the end-of-the-month pressure to sell on the parts of some salespeople, especially in the bigger dealerships, because they have bonuses they hit if they do a certain number of sales. So if they're close to that and you're one of the last few sales they've got to make for the end of the month,
right.
Then they're going to be more willing to make a deal with you than
true.
They otherwise would.
That's true.
That's the best. If you're not in a big hurry, wait till the end of the month. Mm-hmm. The same thing, wait till the end of the year if you want, because that's really a big time to get a new car when they're really clearing out the lots, especially apparently with the luxury lines, Lexus and BMW and such.
So explain this to me, because I thought that, so the end of the year is it the end of the
that's
December?
December, last week of December. Right,
okay,
right,
last
right,
week
right.
of December.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because they say their year-end sales are especially good, especially for these luxury lines for some reason.
Okay, cool.
And then, of course, there's the model redesign when there's a whole new kind of car coming out.
Right.
If you might lose off on the bells and whistles of the latest kind of car.
Right. Right.
But again, they're trying to get rid of those, and they're going to be cheaper because they're not going to have all those bells and whistles. So there are a few more tips in the story as well, but I see we're running out of time.
Hey, folks, here's a guy who's trying to help you save some money. Okay, good ideas. I appreciate it. Read about it in the Beacon newspaper. You can get your free copy at over 1,500 locations or read it online at thebeaconnewspapers.com. Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you, Eric. Take care.
Thanks to Holman Jenkins from Business World for this article out of the Wall Street Journal. The known known was an appetite for change in the land, but two known unknowns were also important in last Tuesday's outcome. One was whether voters could stomach the especially high-risk gamble that Donald Trump uniquely represented. The other was whether they could withstand the howling wind of elite disapproval issuing from their TV sets. Mr. Trump, as Wednesday's stock market rally indicated, this is again a week and a half ago now, has gotten off to a good start reassuring economic decision makers that the world hasn't ended. He can still throw it all away, and quickly, if he embroils the U.S. in a tit-for-tat war with major trading partners, but here's betting he won't, and I also agree with that. His signature promise, which is a wall against Mexican immigrants, cannot spring up overnight. He will produce maps, models, and designs while negotiating with Mexico over what might even be a useful revision to the North American Free Trade Agreement. He will declare victory. He will be content with such trade law cases against China on steel and aluminum as are already progressing through the U.S. and international trade courts. To fulfill at least one campaign threat, illegal immigrants may have to take it on the chin for the first 6 months of a Trump administration. But Mr. Trump was already repositioning himself to be the growth president well before his surprise triumph on Election Day. By virtue of being elected, he ends various Obama regulatory wars against major sections of the U.S. economy that can only be bullish. That can only be bullish, folks. A tax reform along traditional idealistic GOP lines with lower rates and fewer loopholes can only be bullish. The secular stagnationists are not wrong to worry about demographic headwinds and debt, that's for sure. Those challenges are real. But if we can get 2% growth with the tax code and regulatory policies we now have, 3% ought to be within reach if we get better policies. Yes, a doubling of our growth from 2 to 3%. Grab that low-hanging fruit, Mr. Trump. You and your team deserve credit for eking out an Electoral College victory, but you lost the popular vote. You won fewer votes than Mitt Romney did in 2012. You barely surpassed John McCain's totals in his blowout 2008 loss. For a mandate, that doesn't fall apart with the first scandal or shapely ghost from your past. Earn it with success on the growth front. I think we all want that. We all want to see our country grow. You know, this 1, 2% growth is fairly anemic. And honestly, you put brakes on the economy the way the taxation policy has been in effect, it's going to cause there to be stagnation. Now, major cities have seen massive growth in real estate values, but that's not the middle class, which if you look across the swath of America, there's really the East Coast and the West Coast, and there's a few cities like Chicago, but the rest of America voted for Donald Trump because they want growth. They're stagnating. They need to see better income. This is my personal opinion attached to Holman Jenkins' article. Now, going back to the article, there remains an overhang of uncertainty due to the debt problems of Europe, China, and Japan, which could bloom into a global financial crisis at any minute. And I'll speak a little bit later about the yuan, the impact of the Chinese yuan and the depreciation of that, and what could happen. We shudder to think of the populist remedies a President Trump might reach for to buck up his standing. Banking analyst Mike Mayo pronounced this week's election the end, finally, of the 2008 financial crisis. He meant an end to the punitive actions against businesses that, as we should have learned in the seminal 1930s, only prolong the pain. Unfortunately, Mr. Mayo could prove premature. Large parts of the Trump arsenal of policy promises during the campaign were, sadly, of exactly this sort. Start a trade war with China, interfere in the plant siting decisions by American businesses like Ford and Carrier, trying to maintain their global competitiveness, block the AT&T Time Warner merger, relaunch the political war on the banks by resurrecting Glass-Steagall. Well, if you notice what happened with Amazon stock since the election, so it was trading close to $800 and it's dropped, I think, 10% or so at this point. So apparently there's some obscure grievance against Jeff Bezos. And I'm assuming that a lot of the investors are looking at not only, and I'm look, folks, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a real estate agent. So all of this means positive. If we grow and our country grows, it means our economy grows and it means that more people have jobs. And even locally, where things have stagnated, things have jobs. But, you know, there's going to be an impact on some businesses that have been rocking and rolling as other businesses, as the cycle of investment goes into other businesses. And I don't know anything about any personal grievance that Donald Trump has with Amazon. I wasn't even aware of it until I read this article. If there is one, or if this is just projection or conjecture, I'm not sure. The stock market boom that has greeted the president-elect is important. It will give support to his pro-growth instincts rather than his retributive ones. So, assuming Mr. Trump does not shoot himself in the foot, the biggest danger in this hopeful moment may come when Democrats cut out from a share of power in Washington and increasingly routed in the states resort to extracurricular activities. You know, I hope that we all move forward, and I hope that Donald Trump becomes the great president that I think he can be by bringing both the Democrats and the Republicans together, really crossing the aisles in ways that we haven't seen for 35 to 40 years, in ways that we have all believed that a president should, and we didn't see in spite of previous promises. So I'd like to see that growth. I know you would, and it would be good for all of us, especially if we own real estate, especially if we own growth stocks and so on. All right. Hey, when I get back, let's talk about home care, the value of home care. If you know someone who needs to stay in their home, what's the value of that for you to stay where you are and not have to move anytime soon? Right back. Don't go away.